in Galatians 1 about a perverted gospel. You remember both times he said, if any man preach any other gospel? Then Galatians chapter 1, when I started teaching on Galatians and thought that was the book he wanted me to go through, but he's trying to get me to something else. He wanted to show me there on those pages that the Apostle Paul had a time, even with Peter and the other disciples at that time, to get them in line with what how God wanted his people to live, not in bondage, not by performance, not in fear of him, not in fear of judgment, not in fear of condemnation, not in fear of being punished, not in fear even of going to hell, not in fear of the devil, not in fear of demons, not in fear of lack and limitation, I'm not going to make it. The gospel, which is good news, put a believer who is rightly informed in a position to not to be in the fear of none of this. None of this will even be on their mind because they know because they're the Father's children, he's going to bring them to a place where they're going to be exactly what he had promised he's going to do. So what you got to deal with is promise, performance, and promises. The gospel of works, of doing, has turned out to be the gospel of performance, where man is trying to please God with the Bible. And that's what's making it so deceptive, is because we have the Bible and we've been using the Bible. But if I would ask you tonight with a truthful statement, without a fake confession, how many of you all are really running in life? And when I say running, I'm talking about all the promises of God is flooding your life out because you know what to do. Now, I didn't ask, many of us know scriptures. Many of us know how to pray. Many of us know great confessions. But I believe that the enemy, in these 39 years of preaching, I believe that the enemy has deceived the church at large with a whole lot of performance and a whole lot of people getting people being impressed. But the bulk of the body of Christ is not in rest. It's fighting every day. It's praying hard. It's praying long. Sometimes praying wrong. But there has to be an answer. I know it has to be an answer. So I just stayed after the Lord all these 39 years. I'm more excited now. The Lord told me he was going to let me down the deep. He's going to teach me about communion. He's going to teach me about the cross and various things. I announced those things, about 10 things he told me he was going to do. I didn't know he was going to do it so swiftly and so clearly. So I want to begin. I have my people in the audio room, video room, to put scriptures on the board tonight. I'm open my notes in a few minutes, but I just want talk about a few things like Ephesians 2:7. Can you put that up there for me? Ephesians 2:7. Actually, in the fifth verse, Ephesians 2:5, but we want 2:7 up. But actually, in the fifth verse, it makes a statement, we're saved by grace. 2 and 5, it says we're saved by grace. All right. Now, that verse said that in the age to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us through Christ. Now notice that statement, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. He might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Actually, I want you to, as an individual, awaken into God's ability in your life by the grace of God. Awakening to God's ability in your life by the grace of God. We're not talking about you keeping the commandments. We want to reveal to you the commandment is not for you today. We want to reveal to you the days that the commandment was given by Moses, It was only to show you that you was condemned. You couldn't make it on your own. The grace of God through Christ fulfilled the commandment. The commandment was schoolmasters. So now when we preach a whole lot of do's and don'ts to you, we're preaching works. We're not preaching to you who you really are, what your abilities really are in the grace of God. So I want you to take notes and underline your Bible the exceeding riches of his grace. I mean, he used two great words, exceeding riches. It's trying to tell us something about God's unmerited favor that is exceeding, and he said riches is plural, riches of his grace in his, and then he used the word kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Now the eighth verse bring us into a principle that I think we have not properly comprehended. In that eighth verse, now the eighth verse is a principle you must use throughout your life. For everything that God says is yours, that eighth verse hold the principle. The eighth verse remind me of another scripture that is not as powerful as this eighth verse, but it's one of our most powerful scripture in John 10:10. The thief come not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. But this verse here set us up to live a life under, you might turn to, put hold that and then turn to Acts 20:24. I'm going to let him put that on the board in a few minutes. Under the gospel of grace. Now, I know we're out here, but we're out here because a lot of people are going to holler. A lot of people are going to want to go back to their old ways of living. But once you see it, if you stick with me about 3 to 6 months, you'll be on the road. And you'll be able to receive the thing that you didn't receive. Then I have to understand that you're not my only audience or you're not my only group I'm preaching to. I'm preaching to people all over the world. I keep forgetting that on Wednesday night. I have partners all over the world watch me, but large as this crowd here, probably larger. For by grace are you saved through faith. So two big words there, grace and faith. Grace and faith. I think a lot of time we've been trying to use our faith without grace. Grace bespeaks every promise is already done. You know what I mean? I mean, if you get the understanding that, religion will never hold you down. So he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, a lot of preaching and teaching is beating on you what you need to do and how you need to be. And grace say, I already have done that for you. And so if we don't know how to walk by grace, we don't know how to walk in grace, we don't know how to walk in the gift that God has given us, then we're on our own trying to do something with the Bible that only the Holy Spirit can do. Now, so you notice it says, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Now, everything in the Bible equate to them two statements. Everything you see in the Bible equates to those two statements based on grace and faith because of the gospel of grace, because Jesus did it all. All your sins paid for, all your blessing paid for, all your health paid for, all your wealth paid for. It's already yours, but Satan deceived us by trying to take us another route for so many years. And God been pondering on my heart and pondering on my prayer time to try to open my eyes as a leader in this church and a leader in this nation that the gospel of grace versus the gospel of work or the gospel of the Ten Commandments. And we've been so busy correcting sin. We've been so busy with adultery. And let me say this thing to him. Don't get scared about grace. Don't get afraid of grace. Because if a man stay in adultery and practice adultery, either a lunatic or something wrong with him. He might not be saved. So, I mean, so don't, they can't put that on grace. That's just because grace will pull you out of that mess. So don't be afraid of grace, and don't be afraid of sin. You can't be a church being afraid of sin. Jesus was not afraid of sin. Matter of fact, Jesus was looking for him because he knew what he had was greater than what they were dealing with. And until we come to the understanding that in the church, we're going to be battling and battling and battling and battling. Notice it is the gift of God. You notice that, right? Now, Romans 5:17 now is work on the same basis. Romans 5:17, work on the same basis. Work on the same basis. It work on the same basis as Ephesians 2:8. Just how you got saved is how you're going to reign in life. Now, the Bible plan to tell us that which is not of faith is sin. So we know anything that God give us, we got to operate in faith. We got to believe. Our part is believing. The Lord already have done it for us. We just got to believe that he have done it and accept it and walk in it by faith. Right? Now, and you did real good tonight. God bless you. Because I'm glad nobody ain't jumped on their feet or held their hand up when I asked, are you really running in life? I'm so glad. So glad I didn't have to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? You were smart. You should say, ain't nobody else moving. I ain't moving either. That's smart. Because what I found out that none of us ran in life. And I'm doing pretty good in life, but we're not running like we should. And it's because we didn't know this measure. Now, for by one man offense, death reigned by one. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, Adam put the lights out. But here, you start at, he said death reigned. When he said death reigned, you see that? It said death reigned. When you think about death reigned, you don't think about just dying, going to a grave. Death reigned when you financially unable, when your family is not right, when your body need healing. See, everything that is detrimental come from death. Death ran when you can't pay your house note, because it's part of the curse. It's not part of the blessing. So he says, for as one man offense, death ran by one, much more. And it's about another one, not by Jesus Christ. But notice the word much more. They was received. Now, the reason you haven't received is because it hasn't been taught to you enough. We waste a lot of good time. Like this time, right? This is a good time for the body of Christ to talk it over in the word of God and get some anointing and get some insight on how to handle things. But we waste that time doing a whole lot of other stuff, performing, trying to look good and all that kind of stuff, you know. And God's people who really love him is trying to hold on, but they don't have the revelation of the gospel of grace, and they have never left the Ten Commandments alone. The Ten Commandments is like the old covenant. It's been fulfilled. Jesus kept all the commandments so he can take all our sins. See, the Bible, that's why. So now, the organized religion will tell you, don't tell them people they're free. Don't tell those people God not holding nothing against them. Don't tell them that God love you 100%. Don't tell them they're forgiven for everything they ever done, never will do. Don't tell them that, because that's the gospel of grace. You're already free. See? And so we're going to reign in life. It's going to be through those two things. Now remember what I said about faith. Faith is not an advice, but remember what I said about faith. The abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now all them things I said that death bring, like limitation, lack, worry, fear, anxiety, condemnation, punishment, those things have been preached to us, and therefore those of us who really love God have never soared in the way that a Christian can soar if we would understand that God is not out to get you. I don't believe nobody got no more damaging reputation in this room beside me. You really don't know my other life. I was a rascal, man. But, you know, he who will be forgiven much, love him much. And let God just wipe my past away, boy. I meet people that don't even know me. How you doing, sir? You know? So I'm going to push it tonight. I'm going to push you a little bit in understanding this. Let's go another scripture. Another scripture we need to look at. And these are basic scriptures I got to put in you, you know. Hebrews 13:8. You know, we all know that verse, but we didn't go to the ninth verse. And the reason we go to the ninth verse, we read it, but we didn't know the emphasis that the Holy Ghost was trying to put on us about the life of grace and about the life of living under the gospel of grace. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, we know that voice. Is that right, Claire? Yes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you go to the ninth voice now. Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrine. Doctrine means teaching, right? Then it seemed like that you have to be in a certain position not to do that. See, Satan bringing strange doctrine through the Bible. Misinterpreted, misunderstood. Because you know if it's the Bible, some of us just going to suck it up. If you use a scripture. If you use a scripture, he knows. Oh, we got him now. They use a scripture. But no, you got to be able to discern, right? You remember what Paul told Timothy? Study to show yourself approval. A workman not needing to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, whether you know the members of Word of Life and members of the internet audience and all who connected to this ministry, whether you know it or not, you about to live like you never lived before. Because you have to have this guilt off of you. And you cannot never permit the spirit of condemnation. No matter what, no matter if you slip down on a banana peel and slap somebody inside the head while you're falling, you cannot let that condemnation, because as soon as you slap them, you forgive them. Now, it take a while for some of us to see this, because we're former Baptist and Catholic and Church of God in Christ and full gospel and charismatic word of faith. You know, it'd be a while for us to catch on to this. But you if you catch it, you're going to catch it. You're going to get it. Okay. You'll be so peaceful. Peaceful, because, you know, a lot of times we worry about, you know, as soon as sickness hit about what I did. Sickness hit one of our little children. What we did. I don't know what we did. The Lord said with that blind man, nobody did nothing. So could it be when the enemy hit your house, God ain't holding nothing against nobody, just about to show his glory? Could it be? I mean, could it be? And yes, it's necessarily so. Your limitation, your lack, your inability to function financially in the world like you should now, could it be that God is about to show his glory through you? Once they saw you couldn't make it, next time they saw you helping somebody else make it. You see what I'm saying? We must not get afraid. We must not be fearful. We must not stress. I receive stress, fear, anxiety, and worry come from a root word called condemnation. So when you're messing with stress, you're messing with the leaf. You're not messing with the real thing. You just dealing with the leaf. When you're messing with anxiety, you're messing with the leaf. The root is somewhere you've been condemned. And therefore, you're not walking in faith, believing and receiving like God wants you to. Somebody have said something. Some of your ugly cousins, you think because they did something wrong, now it's on you. All right, now. All us got ugly cousins. I don't care. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrine. Carried about with divers and strange doctrine. I actually believe, as your pastor, as your apostle, as your teacher, I actually believe the church at large been messing around with strange doctrine. They've been, and it sounds so good, and we got so much of it in us. But I believe that we're ready, God ready to turn the the turn the leaf now that you can go out in his favor. That you know, it's John 19:30. Peep that and we'll come back here. John 19:30. Jesus said a word on the cross there. And it's so important. You see, you're going to find it in there, John 19:30. There's a word in there. Either this truth or God lied. It is finished. Now, it is finished. In other words, all the victories, all the blessing, all the anointing, all the deliverance, all the freedom, all the joy, all the peace, all the power, all the glory that you as a believer can walk in is finished. Health, wealth, blessing, overcoming, no weapon formed against you. See. So to the believer, there is no condemnation. Now, self-help books can be a trick to you. Because exactly what they're saying, self-help. But, it's self. You're full of self. You're positive-minded. You got a few strategies, a few cliches you say. And you think you're on top of the world. But Satan will slap you AWOL because he's a spirit. And so self-help book is good within themselves. But, and then when the Bible mentioned flesh in Romans chapter 8, it mentioned self-effort. So, keeping the Ten Commandments, self-effort, doing it ourselves, and not trusting in the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and talking to the Father from a covenant point of view, the new covenant, because Jesus was concealed in the Old Testament, revealed in the New Testament. So, the revelation of Jesus now can take you back in the Old Testament and show you himself. He was all on through it. Jesus didn't come here when he first came in, and he's always with the Father. All right, it is finished. Now go back to the next scripture. I had the scripture up there. What scripture I had up there? Yeah. Be not carried about with divers strange doctrine. Now it's a strange doctrine if I tell you that you got to keep the commandments. You can't keep the commandment. Nobody never kept the commandment. They were schoolmasters to show you your inferiority. All right? Now, for it is a good thing. Now, it seems like these are related now because it seems like if you don't be established with grace, you're going to be carried about with divers strange doctrine. Come on. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. So it seemed to me that a heart that is established with grace is not going to be carried away with nothing else. Heart established with grace, this is a hard saying for this time, for this people who've been taught wrong for a long time, just taught some things right, but it haven't went to the fullness of what Christ did on the cross, the finished work, which he manifested his grace in the finished work as a favor to you. Now, it seems like a hard saying, but I'm going to say it to you. All your past, present, and future sins are already forgiven. You say, well, Carol, you might ask me, am I going to make any mistake? Absolutely. But it's already covered. And you got a divine conscience on the inside of you. When you know you're walking wrong, that conscience is going to talk to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going to talk to that conscience. And you're going to say, Father, I'm sorry. Now, here's another thing. Now, this is, you remember Jesus says, I got some things to say to you, it's a hard saying, but it's not because you're all born of the Spirit, right? Here's another thing. When you confess, you're not confessing to be forgiven. You're confessing because you're already forgiven. Oh, Lord. Lord, honey, where are we going to find us a church here? We got to go somewhere. Yeah, this man. No. When you've been taught wrong so long, right don't seem right. And this is where Satan's trying to hold all churches in that same line. Yes, you be repentant, but the Bible said the goodness of God leadeth to repentance. Not preaching hell and grime and fire strong. When you find out how much God loves you, I'm going to hold something to the end to show you that going to turn your life around tonight. I'm going to show you how Jesus operates with grace. and how people were able to receive grace out of deep sin and walk out, and the Lord told them, don't go and sin no more. And they were anointed not to sin. A lot of sin is happening because we're not anointed with grace. We're anointed with fear and damnation preachers and scared that we're going to go to hell, standing over hell in the fire, licking out at you. Well, you know, a message like that won't go home with you because you're trying to get rid of that anyway. You get rid of that by the time you get in the car. I ain't going to hell. I don't see no fire. You know, but there is a hell, you understand? But those of us who have accepted Christ, I'm a Christian. How many Christians we have here? I'm a believer. Hold it tight. Hold tight so the camera gets you. I'm a believer. So I'm talking to believers now. And when sinners eavesdrop on this type of talk, they're going to get saved by the multitude. All right? Now, so therefore, it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meat which have not profited them that have been occupied then. But I want you to see that, and you need to underline that in your Bible, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Now, you are believers. Just think about talking to 118 ministers and making this shift. I talked to him for an hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes. He's on the line from all over the world. And then I opened it up for questions. We dealt with homosexuality. We dealt with adultery. We dealt with divorce. We dealt with people who try to bring off the street and help them. And you got to find out whether they take us or whether they want to be helped. And but every question was answered. You was on the line, wasn't you? Every question was answered by the Holy Ghost. The revelation and understanding of the finished work of the cross of Christ is God's final move to bring us into our right position. The revelation and understanding the finished work of Christ that's on the cross is God's final move. God is not going to make no other move to bring us into our right position. So you don't have to look no farther. You got it tonight. You got God's final move that will release everything his word say will be released on your behalf. Now, secondly, listen to me carefully. We think that judgment, condemnation, punishment, preaching a message of fear that you might go to hell because you're missing God is the truth of the gospel. That's not the truth of the gospel. That's not the truth of God. I don't believe none of y'all going to hell. What? Y'all? Y'all want to go with it? I pick out a road and y'all want to. Man, somebody said, I don't believe none of y'all going to have to tear this church up. Hallelujah, man. And I don't believe none of y'all sit here never made a mistake. I don't believe nobody sitting here, including up here, including him, have never sinned. And I don't believe you're sinning over. Now, you got some of these self-righteous people sitting here tonight, say, you know, because they don't drink Kool-Aid. But there's something in your life you're missing the mark. God knows that. God still loves you, though. And grace there to uphold you. Not uphold you in your sin, uphold you till you come to your spiritual senses that you really don't want to do that. You don't have to do it. If you can get from under condemnation, get from under punishment. Jesus took your condemnation. Jesus took all your sin. Jesus took all your punishment. Jesus took all your mistake. See? Another thing I want to share, we have not been carrying out the scripture as the culture of honor. Why? Because we're afraid of sin. So people who have some handicap or habit in their life, which are believers, we can't help them because we're afraid ourselves. So we want to come to church, we want everybody with no sin. You're not going to find that church until you get in heaven. The body of Christ at large is afraid of sin. But notice Jesus' ministry. Jesus was not afraid of sin. Matter of fact, he said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I come to call sinners to repentance. The righteous already in. That's Luke 5:32. You don't need to turn there. Maybe let me read a few things. Well, so therefore churches has a tendency to not be able to help people properly. Why? Because they want the people to repent, they scold them, all sort of guilt, condemnation, etc. Now look at Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Romans 8, 1. I want you to look at 8 and 1. Romans 8, 1, you know the Bible wasn't chapter and verse, but it did that for us. But you're back in the 7th chapter, and Paul cried out. He kept dealing with that sin nature. He kept dealing with trying to do it through the commandment, keep things right. And he finally cried out. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of sin? That's what the church at large, some of us got a little ease, but every now and then that thing popped back on us, you see. But then on the next verse, it talks about, go back to Romans 7. I think it's the last two verses. Yeah, so get the one where you say, oh, wretched man that I am. Can you do that back there? You know a little bit about the Bible? 7 and what? Tell them 7 and what? Tell them. Romans 7 and 24. I don't know who back there. You know, I don't know how long they've been in the Bible. 7 and 24. Now, this comes from the Apostle Paul, who's a saved man. He's saved. And he went through that 7th chapter to show you what he went through at one time, at one point in his life as a Christian. He went through that thing. And you see, reason good people can't get delivered, we're constantly killing them. You know, somebody come in and say, Reverend Thomas, I have a habit, you know, but I'm a Christian. Sit down there, son. Sit down among the congregation. Sit down, daughter. Sit down there. We're going to get it straight. Y'all don't want to talk to me, see? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Go to the next verse now. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. What are you talking about with the flesh? Self-effort. See, now that's another why one reason our bodies are sick. We talk about flesh. We put everything on our body. Body did it. Body did it. Devil said, yeah, body did it. Let me do something to the body. Flesh is your self-effort, your human effort. But then they go to Romans 8 and 1. Do we believe this or not? See, we've got to get rid of this condemnation. Therefore, therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after self-effort. Why do you think Jesus told us Luke 9:23? Why you look at it? Go ahead and look at it. Why do you think Jesus told us that? But after the Spirit. Why did Jesus say that in Luke 9:23? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, take up his grace, take up his forgiveness, take up my love, take up my anointing, take up my power, take up my mercy. Daily. Half the hardest day in your life, 17, 18 things hit you, but you still can raise your brow and say, Lord, thank you, I'm delivered from it all. And you're not talking about present tense, you're talking about past tense. It's finished. I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. But you have to be established in grace, established in God's goodness. Establishing the fact of how much God has forgiven you. Establishing the fact how much God loves you. Don't you love your children? How much more? If he spared not his only son, how much more freely he would give to us? And so the perversion is trying to get a rhyming sermon, an uprolling sermon to teach you and preach at you. But you still go home without being satisfied in your heart. Because you sit there sometimes, you know you got a problem. You know it got to be dealt with. You're tired fronting. You want this thing finished. Huh? No way in the world you hear, I tell them, Wednesday night, cold as it is, you don't want to know the truth, you don't love God. No way in the world. You had to make an effort to get out here. So this is crazy. It's even crazy for me to attempt to tell you you don't want to do right. I'm wrong, man. It's just got to preach you and love you and let an anointing be upon you that destroy every yoke that's trying to hold. That's what the kingdom, that's what the Bible, that's what the forsake not assembling yourself is all about. You know, I've been preaching 39 years and I've preached thousands of sermons, but yet I watch people face since I started teaching grades. I watch a young man face, and a young man, I could hear him say thank you out his own mouth. He didn't say a word, just looking at me. I could see thank you coming out of his eyes because he really, he had some habit, but he really won't get free. And he can't get free if you're preaching down at him. People don't get free through fear. Trying to scare the hell out of them, you know what I'm saying? You can't scare the hell out of nobody. There's therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. Say no condemnation three times. Now, how would you take on life if you knew that you had no condemnation? Well, take it on. I'm telling you right now, you have none. Jesus took all your condemnation. How many of y'all ever cussed before? Well, you're not condemned for it. It's over. Somebody pull right in front of you and throw them bricks and throw a finger at you and say, hallelujah! Praise the Lord. Man walked down the street and said, your wife, that's an ugly woman, man. You ain't never seen a man before in your life. Say, sir, that woman you want, that's an ugly woman. You say, oh, praise the Lord. You're not going to do that. First of all, I'm not going to let you insult my wife. If I do, when I get home, I ain't going to have no wife. Turn to Acts 20, 24, because I'm going to try to establish some things as I go, that you have the foundation, and you don't have to try to defend yourself. You know, some people are going to be watching, and they're going to say, well, what are y'all going? Y'all always going somewhere. You talk about the money. Now you want to talk about grace. Now you talk about you ain't got no sins, and you ain't got to be condemned no more, and all that junk. That ain't no church. Well, if you never saw something, you won't know what it is. If you never experienced something, you won't know what it is. So quite naturally, you're going to holler and scream because it's killing your castle. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify what? The gospel of the grace of God. Now, when you read your Bible, Ephesians, Romans, you read all the epistles, you're going to see grace walking down every street. Because that's what the Lord wants to see, it's the gospel of grace. You know, even in finance, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich. See, and then he says, "You in that same text, he said, you've been established in everything. See that you're established in this grace also. Yeah, we'll get that sometime. And the reason that the church cannot help people that should, what you had on that clock? What? 45 minutes. Yeah, but that ain't going to wait tonight. Because, I mean, I've been up here 10 minutes. I just look like that. I know you might think it longer, but it wasn't no longer. It's 10 minutes. And why the church cannot help people like they should be helped is forgetting a greater element, which is not easy to do traditionally, operating in love to the fallen. Operating in love to the fallen. So you, who know, it might be your day next. So I know why this has been happening. Let me explain this to you. And now I'm in astonishment of the freedom and the liberty that God is pouring in my ministry. Remember, I started out with communion. And what I wanted to do, I wanted to correct this fear and torment that normal preaching have brought about taking communion. I mean, that's been, man. You know, some sick, some dead, some weak, because they're taking it unworthy. No, he was talking about taking it in an unworthily manner, not discerning the blood and the body, which produce, bring you into a place of inheritance. Let's go back to a gospel like this, the gospel of grace, where you not preaching hell and damnation and telling people they're not going to make it and the reading is sick, they did this. Let's go back to it now and see three words here now. Lord, y'all got to help me, but stick with me now. Most preaching is a legal gospel. Legal. In other words, it got a lot of legalities in it. You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do this, go do that. So it's so much stuff you can't even remember. And you can't do it. It's a Ten Commandments gospel, or it's a veil gospel. Remember that veil was torn in two? Where you can go on into the Holy of Holies? All right. Grace, take that Ten Commandment and move it on the side, thou shall, and enter into the realm of I will. See. Thou shall, then the Lord said, I will. What he said, I will do it through you. Just yield to me. All right? Now, so three words that I have to educate you on is the legal aspect. The church been a legal church. I mean, you sin, you come in, you better bring a lawyer with you. Matter of fact, you better have a lawyer sitting on both sides of you. Because they're going to care for the service over with. But then you have the license of sin. Now, this gospel here seemed to be too easy. The gospel of grace, in which Paul said there's no other gospel. I don't know how the church so long got caught up not preaching this. Now, they got men all over the world preaching it. But then I can see it down in the deep south who wasn't preaching nothing but stop by here, Lord, stop by here. And a lot of times, so when I first started preaching 37 years ago. But if you listen to me, your life is going to take upon a new anointing, a new awareness of God's presence, a new anointing of God's goodness. Your dream is going to be different. Your prayer is going to be different. Your reading of the scripture is going to be different because you're not looking for something to get out. You're not looking for something to plead to God, Lord, have mercy on me. You know I love you. You know you love him. He love you before you go there. All right? So I'm so thankful on Sunday I shared with you why grace is not the license to sin. In other words, you say, you tell a person they're already forgiven, they can go and do anything. No. Let's get to it now. I need to get to it. In John 8. I need to explain something in John 8. And I'll close tonight. Because we're talking about the liberty. I want to get to this woman who had committed adultery. I don't really know where it is in my note, but I know the story because I went over and over, over and over again. I should have marked it because I didn't know I was going to go to it tonight. I think it's in the 8th chapter of John. Is it right? All right, I'll just read it with you and just let the Holy Ghost talk to you about it. Because I went over again. I said, my God. You know, we got to keep the law. And then, you know, the Bible says you're trying to get a toothpick out of somebody else's eye. And you got a 2x4 in your eye. And I mean, Jesus is giving that illustration that we have to walk in love. We have to walk by faith. We have to walk in a state of forgiveness. God have forgiven me. Don't let nobody put no junk on you. His blood, the new covenant. The Lord have taken care of everything I ever done wrong. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm a free man. All the preachers dropping their cups, hitting their wives, everything. Now, I said, what he said? Well, it's sure not the reality show. It's the truth. We ain't got time to look at your little cards and your little suits and stuff on TV. We want to know what Jesus said. Where that story started? 8:1. John 8:1. 8:3. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in what? Oh, Lord. Adultery. Adultery. And when they set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman. There she is right there. You know, there she is right there. Was taken in adultery, and they caught her in the bed. I mean, it wasn't getting nobody. They had some pictures. So the lady had no argument. They caught her in the act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us. Now, notice what they said. What they said? Moses in the law commanded us. Moses in the law. Old Testament. That's not on the other side of the cross, Old Testament. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. Now, they were right, according to Moses in the law. Now, where is that scripture where the law came, the law in John 1? Moses, yeah. Well, where is that, boy? Who knows where is that? Because I want the class to see this. I think in the first chapter of John, where the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John what? 1 what? 1:17? You know what you're talking about? I go to 1:17, hold the finger there, because I'm just going to take time to tell the story, and I got to tell the story tonight, because it's going to set you free. 1:17 says what? Read it out. Now, I want you to emphasize to you, this is going to help you. Grace is a person. Jesus Christ is grace himself. So on the cross, you had grace manufacturing grace. All right? Now, go back to the story. Because these boys ready to get her. Now, one of them was with her, you know. You know, a woman can't commit adultery by herself. But they ain't brought the man. They caught him both. If they caught her in the act, the man was there too. Right? See how dumb thing can be? See how one-sided? And it's sort of like that with women now. They want to put everything on women, hard on women. Don't want to pay them equal. It's just crazy, man. Woman smarter than a man 4 times, they want to pay the man more than the woman. But I said something, and I don't want to hurt anybody, but I said something that if we have done this thing right, they wouldn't have had the opportunity to do that to women because they wouldn't even be out there on them jobs. We're so deep in this jungle now, you know, it might take many years to get us out, but You know, women are supposed to go through all the aggravation, man. You know how much hell you can catch on a job? What's your name? All right, where I'm at. All right. The scribe and the Pharisee, notice who brought her. Notice who brought her. Not the nun. The nun didn't bring her. The scribe, these people here, boy, they believe the Lord. Brought to him a woman taking her daughter, and when they set her in the midst, wait a minute, I miss a voice now. Well, set in the midst, they said, her master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. All right, now they ask a question now. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. Now, for 30-something years, I've been trying to find out what in the world he was writing. And in reading and preparing, meditating and reading, the Lord showed it to me. On the ground, he wrote the first five commandments. And in those first five commandments, and none of them passed the test. Watch it now. And though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, verse 7, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin, and he looked at them five commandments now, among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now look at what he did in verse 8, because now he can write the other five commandments. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So now all the 10 commandments, right there where they can see them. They got their stone in their hand. They then brought the woman and left the man. Verse 9 now. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest. He left them young people out there, even until the last. And Jesus was left alone. Now watch this. You've got to see this. I'm closing, but you've got to see this. And the woman standing in the midst, that's she, all up, 10 commandments on the ground, Jesus looking at her. They say she should be stoned. Everybody had left. And Jesus, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. Now watch what he said to her. Now listen. Woman, where art thine accuser? Now we got more accusers in the Church of Jesus Christ than any place else. I'm telling you, they let Satan use them with accusation against people. They don't even know if it's true. I done followed so many lies in my life. Got to the end of the road, it was just a flat lie. Somebody told me that. Woman, well done, accuser. Had no man what? Condemned thee. Ready? Now listen. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Can you hear him? I said, can you hear him?
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ, what, the same what?
Yes,
I told you about the law of double jeopardy Sunday. You can't be condemned because he was condemned for you. Now do I condemn thee. Now this statement here, this is where I want you to understand that this type of lifestyle is not going to make you sin. Now he didn't condemn her. He didn't call her guilty. He told us, I don't condemn either. Go and sin no more. Now, when I read that, when he told her, go and sin no more, because sometimes when Jesus healed people, he told them before he healed them, I have the power to forgive sin. Now, here's what's going to cause that woman not to sin anymore. Here's what's going to cause you who got habits, when you see the love of God and the grace of God so much in your life, you're going to stop it. Because this woman heard Jesus. He had all that information on her. And he told her, I don't condemn you. He told her, go and sin no more. Now, what would keep this woman from sinning? She done got away with this. the love and the forgiveness and the kindness of God is the greatest thing you can have. When you recognize how much God loves you, that you belong to God, you don't belong to the world, you don't belong to the devil, you don't belong to sin, and you got enough authority and enough anointing in your life not to give yourself away to this world, you're going to live for God day by day. You're going to make mistakes, but God's going to clam up. You're going to make mistakes, but God's going to clam up. You don't need no whip over you. You don't need no scripture hanging over your head talking about hell, yeah, hell, devil, hell, yeah, heaven over here. Where you hanging at? You don't need that. You already know you're saved. I'm bold enough to say none of y'all going to go into hell. None of y'all going to get lost. None of y'all going to turn your back on the gospel. Not a one. Not a one in this room going to be lost. Not a one on the internet. If you believe Christ, you've accepted Jesus, you will go to heaven. This gospel of grace, I have a whole lot more to say to you. I want to tell you about the word of grace, the grace of Christ. When Jesus said, my grace is sufficient, we're talking about being established in grace, partake of his grace, let your speech always be seasoned with grace. There's so many scriptures showing us how to live the grace life under the gospel of grace. All right? All right? So, know you're forgiven. I look out among you. I really know you love God. Huh? And by preaching this gospel to you, I know what's gonna happen to your life. Because there's a lot of things that God wanna give you. A lot of things God wants you to do for him. But we've been so jumping up in condemnation and unforgiveness because we made some mistakes, man. Hey. You think anybody on your road have made no mistake? If they tell you they haven't made a mistake, I would change road. But God love you. Say it. God love me.
God love me.
I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. You understand that, class?
Yes, sir.
Now, they could call this a social gospel. They can call it whatever. Sensitivity, they can call it what they want. But there's enough scriptures in this Bible to reveal the gospel of grace. And you're not going to reign in life unless you understand the abundance of grace, receive it, and the gift of righteousness. You see, it's just so much. I just got to stop because, see, righteousness, we need to awake to righteousness because righteousness, they got such a thing out there called your righteousness is a positional righteousness. It's not a shift in righteousness. You're not righteous today, and because you lied tomorrow, you're unrighteous. You're still righteous. Satan wants you to think you're unrighteous. All right? And then a positional righteousness. There's no such thing as a practical righteousness. See, people have been teaching practicing righteousness. You can't practice right, you got to be righteous. Okay. Now, well, I got to close, man, but let's look at it one more time. Let's look at, I say it was 11, but let me look at one more time, Titus 2, 11 and 12. Because I want you to get this in your spirit. This is too good to be true of you. Now, I got to have some preaching with telling me I'm going to hell. Well, go somewhere else and get to hell preaching. Because God is not out to send you to hell. God is out to use you as a vehicle in his kingdom. And I find out that grace will stop you from sinning. Instead of grace, God love causing you to sin. God love will bring you closer to the throne of God, closer to him. And if you know how many times God has forgiven you, how you think that woman felt? I'm caught. She know I'm doomed. I'm caught in the very act. Here's a merciful eye rose up. Anybody condemn you? You know he had ran them all off, you know. Anybody condemn you? He said, no, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. That's why that lady was crying, took the water and wiped Jesus' feet behind him. She must have had long hair, took her hair, and started drying his feet off. And the rich religion people say, you don't know what kind of woman she was, a whore. You don't know what kind of woman she was. Jesus said, yeah, I know. Now, most whores I talked to was real kind. Just kind. Just, I mean, had the nicest personality. Just a kind hoe. You understand what I'm saying? Just kind. Talk, and you talk to Christian people, the Christian women, they just nasty attitude. I don't know. I know some hoes as kind as hoes in the world. And I never been to a whole house, but I've been around hoes. And they were kind people. I know girl was running around her husband all the time, but you talk to her, she just made you feel better. And not by no sex, she's just a nice lady, just talk, just no foolishness. You talk to one who think they're real Christian, no, what you talking about? Now y'all don't act like, some of you men act like you ain't never been around no hoes. You just, I'm the only one up here, I'm the only hoe up here. Y'all ain't been around nothing, y'all. I've not been to church, me, Reverend. Yeah, I know. I know, brother. Okay. I'm glad I got this message for you. Yeah. Because we finally gonna. I'm gonna give you something to chew on in your claw. We finally gonna get where we're gonna find out, was Ananias and Sapphira really Christian? Because it's been proven, it's a scary voice, isn't it? Drop dead, man. Every time you get your tie, you think about it. I don't know if this is enough, man. Don't let pastor ask nothing about, is this all you're supposed to bring? God ain't going to knock you. God ain't going to kill you by no money. He ain't going to kill you. He ain't going to do that. We'll prove that in 1 hour session, that they were not called by the right name. Usually when you're talking about a Christian, he says, they call him disciples. The other, Ananias, was a disciple. Remember the one who ministered to Paul? My disciple. He didn't say that, but Ananias and Sapphira. Because I just can't see now, since I understand his message, God just killing the people. And Christian, you can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. So don't even worry about that. Forget that. A Christian cannot blaspheme the Holy Ghost. How you going to blaspheme the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost live on the inside of you? And you're not going to. But see, he's got these things we're scared about because this perverted gospel been preached on. And that's why we can't get our Americans that we're still so busy trying to protect our mind and our eyes and everything else. And instead, if a man see a nice looking woman, you're going to look. Don't lie to your wife, you're not going to look. You're going to look. And sometimes your wife see a handsome man, she looking too. She might not actually not look, but she's looking at it. That's just life, brother. You're just going to have to live with it. Won't be real. I don't know if I won't be that real, Pastor. Now, this license to sin, because you know you say, and you tell the people they're forgiven, past, present, and future. You tell them that God ain't holding no sin against them. All right? Now, so what do I, some people will ask, what do I have to live for then? If I ain't had to fight sin? Isn't that a dumb question? Huh? You don't spend your whole life fighting sin and miss all the promises. Live for the promises. Live for the goodness of God. Now, these two verses, I want you to make yourself well acquainted with these two verses in Titus 2, 11 and 12. My son brought that up to me. I don't even see he had it now. He might have to work. But for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. The what? What brings salvation? Now you remember Ephesians 2:8. Remember Ephesians 2:5. All right. Now, under that he talked about this grace that brings salvation, also teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Why he said do that then? What helped you to do that? Grace that brought salvation. The gospel of grace. I'm saved by grace. Through faith. One verse we read, we need to establish our hearts in grace. Jesus did it. Jesus did it all. I'm a believer. So I'm able to receive. Are you understanding that? So as the Lord said to that woman, go with no condemnation. I condemn you not either. Just go and sin no more. I want you to have that on your mind. Go and sin no more, because you have the ability. Not all your habits, any habit you got going to be broken. Any woman you thought was sweet enough to draw you from your wife, you're going to put her tail down. Any man you thought was sneaking around with and wanking, talking about just talking, drinking coffee. Well, you ain't got no business being drinking no coffee with no other man. Talking about a friend. She. Carolyn ain't got no friend like that. She ain't going to have none. And talking about me and the girls going out, where in the hell y'all going? What y'all going to do? Going out. You know all you're going to do is get at the table and men go, ow. I don't know. I tell them boys, I tell my sons, look at y'all got to marry some good girls. You know, we'd be out of town a lot of time. Well, Leroy got a good one. My Darnell got a good one. Now I'm praying for Montrell. Well, I sure don't want no schizophrenia in my family, boy. You can't talk to them, you know. Oh, man. You know, somebody don't know who you are sometimes. I don't know who I am. But she will be checked out. I missed it one time, but I ain't going to miss it again. All right. Let's do our tithes and offering, and you're not going to drop dead if you don't give them nothing.